Hello and welcome to The Corridor here on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, and podcasting on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm Dinah Jansen, and with me is CFRC Local Journalism Initiative news producer Jesse Bell. This regional news program features news from Kingston and area provided by local and regional journalists through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Welcome and enjoy. Hello and welcome to The Corridor. I'm Dinah Jansen, and today I'm joined by CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative news producer, Jesse Bell. Our first story is from CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative reporter, Christina Laurie, covering a massive influx of funding awarded to the Agnes Etherington Arts Centre.
The Agnes Etherington Arts Centre has announced a $2 million contribution from Canadian Heritage's Canada Cultural Spaces Fund, which is being used for renovation of the historic Etherington House. The Canada Cultural Spaces Fund is highly competitive, director of Agnes Emily Changer calling the accomplishment validating as Agnes transforms with the vision of becoming a cultural and community hub. Agnes Etherington donated her Neo-Georgian house to Queen's University in 1954 to be turned into a community art gallery. The house continued to be expanded upon until this year, in addition to the historic house, including 9 galleries, a studio, an atrium, a publications lounge, and the David McTavish Art Study Room, before construction of Agnes Reimagined began in the spring. Agnes Reimagined is a $100 million project involving the complete reconstruction of the gallery, set to be complete in 2026. As for the historic Etherington House, which this new funding is going towards, the goal is to turn the house back into a home whilst preserving the house's historic properties. I sat down with director of the Agnes, Emily Changer, to discuss the reimagining of the Etherington House that this funding from the Government of Canada will be going towards.
I wanted to dive right into the Etherington House, which is the historic building that these funds will be used to renovate. What has the house been used for until now?
When I arrived, it was pretty much staged as a historic house, with some of Agnes Etherington's furniture in it, some of it period furniture, but it was very much about looking at the house in its time period. And quickly after I arrived and we reopened after COVID, we sort of slowly took the furniture out of the house and kind of re-inhabited it. And that was, you know, inviting chefs and artists to do projects, doing performances. We've hosted karaoke there. We've had house parties now. And so over the last few years, we've been, we call it rehoming Agnes. And so the Etherington House really became, you know, the locus of our vision of becoming, you know, a home again. That is the heart of the vision of Agnes Reimagined. And then sort of, you know, my office was in Agnes Etherington's old bedroom on the second floor when I arrived. And, you know, I thought, well, what would it mean to return the bedroom to a bedroom or the living room to a living room? What kind of proposition would that make for a cultural institution to be grounded in a concept of the home and hospitality? And so this is, you know, what we applied to Heritage Canada to support the re-inhabitation of Etherington House and the transformation of it back to, and I quote this, like, quote unquote, a home, to create a live-in artist residency in the upstairs and a community-facing hub in the downstairs, along with a cafe. Now, the Heritage Canada money doesn't cover the costs of the cafe, but I think it's important to mention because, you know, as we imagine it, you know, picture it. It's hanging out in Etherington House, where you feel at home because it is a home. And there's food and there's a kind of dynamism to this house. But of course, in re-inhabiting this house, we were very aware that it wasn't about re-inhabiting necessarily all the time period of that house. So while, of course, we love the inlay floors and the heritage aspects of Etherington House, we are very aware that it was built in a very specific time. So a lot of the heritage money is going into what I think is a pretty rad heritage preservation project, in that it's a heritage preservation project dedicated to the future. So it, which includes like a Lula lift in the house to ensure that the residency is accessible, these grand porches that surround Etherington House that ensure the front door can be entered by anyone. So it is a it's a renovation that is an accessible renovation, so that the Etherington House can live in the future.
That's
and everybody can inhabit that home.
Yeah, and we hear a lot about heritage buildings struggling with accessibility, especially here in Kingston. That's amazing to hear that you're going to be able to add those accessible features. And what parts of the historic house are we still going to see? Are we still going to see that front of that building that sort of stands out on University Street?
Absolutely. You will see all of its glory. No modifications, so to speak, to the actual exterior. But one thing that is really, really interesting about Etherington House that I think is sort of worth bringing up, because we really, you know, looking at the history of this house and Agnes Etherington herself, I mean, when she inherited this house, it was sort of a Victorian house, and she kind of did a mega renovation to turn it into a Georgian house. So we see that that kind of renovation that she did in her own time as an articulation that this was somebody who wanted to be in her contemporary moment. So she was very interested in this house transforming over time. So we really feel like we have taken up that proposition from Agnes Etherington, even to ensure that the Etherington House is always reimagining itself for a future. But yeah, you will still have all of the beautiful features that exist in the house, and we've kind of learned how to inhabit those spaces in ways that feel very contemporary. And there's something, I mean, when I first arrived, you know, there was a kind of, we built, you know, the schematic design for Agnes Reimagined through talking circles. They were modeled on Anishinaabe talking circles. And, you know, we had a lot of discussions around this colonial house and its presence. And, you know, is there this ability to re-inhabit these structures? And, you know, we were doing that in programming, and we really feel like this is the path forward. But, you know, the more we were in that house, not staged in its time period, not static in history, but evolving with us as we did programming and really a dynamic situation, you know, the dimensions of the Georgian rooms are very satisfying. You know, they're like, they're human scale. And I think we learn something about that human scale and this architecture in thinking about the rest of the building. So a lot of the sort of vernacular of the house is transposed into the new Agnes, and we are really working on a human scale.
Yeah, for sure. And it sounds like a very exciting vision for 2026 that students and community members alike can look forward to. What are you most excited about folks experiencing once this space is open in 2026?
I'm most excited about looking out and seeing, you know, a really vast demographic of folks hanging out at Agnes and using our spaces in ways that we can't yet even imagine.
Once again, that was director of the Agnes Etherington Arts Center, Emily Changer, on what's in store for the historic Etherington House. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Thank you, Chris. Up next is Dinah Jansen reading a story from the Local Journalism Initiative reporter for YGK News, Owen Fullerton, about the life and legacy of the late Murray Sinclair.
Thank you, Jesse. Former Canadian Anishinaabe judge and senator Murray Sinclair died early last week in Winnipeg at the age of 73. Sinclair is remembered most for chairing Canada's National Truth and Reconciliation Commission, being an instrumental part of bringing to light the residential school experiences of Indigenous people in Canada, and bringing forth a number of reports outlining the role of different Canadian institutions in the suffering of Indigenous people and recommendations for how to work toward reconciliation. In a statement, Murray Sinclair's family said that he died peacefully and surrounded by love, and spoke of the lasting impact he leaves behind. Sinclair also has a close connection to Kingston, having served as the 15th Chancellor of Queen's University after being appointed in 2021. He was the first Indigenous person to ever serve in the role, and Queen's University says he helped implement critical advances on reviewing university practices, policies, and procedures. In a statement from the university, Principal and Vice Chancellor Patrick Dean said it was an honor for the university to have Sinclair occupy the role of Chancellor. Sinclair chose not to seek reappointment in the role in 2024, but remained as a special advisor to Principal Dean on issues surrounding reconciliation. Dignitaries throughout the country paid tribute to Sinclair, including Governor General Mary Simon and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who said in his own statement that Canada lost a giant last week, and commended him on his efforts to confront the dark sides of Canadian history. He listened to residential school survivors and he made sure Canada heard their stories, Trudeau said. In lieu of flowers, Sinclair's family is asking those who are able to donate to the Murray Sinclair Memorial Fund at the Winnipeg Foundation. Thank you to Owen Fullerton from YGK News for that story. Now over to Jesse Bell with an update on last week's story about the potential influx of municipal funding from Gananoque to the University Hospital's Kingston Foundation.
Thank you, Dinah. About a year ago, Gananoque Council said no to a request for a committed investment to the University Hospital's Kingston Foundation. Gananoque was the only municipality in the area to say no to the annual funding request. But with public displeasure from that decision, and with another request made by the foundation, council circled back to the matter at last week's meeting and said yes unanimously to refer the request to upcoming budget deliberations for consideration. Mayor John Beddoes still isn't fully comfortable with council passing on the extra cost to residents, and still believes that, fundamentally, it's the responsibility of the province to support the health needs of municipalities. Like many municipal leaders, Beddoes feels the province is pushing healthcare responsibilities to the municipalities. However, the community he leads wanted their mayor and council to reconsider their position, so they did. At last week's public information session at the Lou Jeffries Gananoque and TLTI Recreation Center, a presentation was given by Dr. David Pecora, president and CEO of UHKF. Pecora explained that new hospital builds are funded 90% by the province and 10% by fundraising, including municipal contributions. All new capital medical equipment, including MRI and PT machines, are covered entirely through fundraising. The Ministry of Health will not pay these costs. A show of hands indicated that the majority of attendees were in favor of an additional tax levy to support UHKF annually. For the average household in Gananoque, the addition of a $75,000 hospital levy would add about $20 to their annual tax bill. With another show of hands, the majority of attendees were supportive of additional tax increases to fund increased physician recruitment and nurse practitioners. The average annual household share for this would be $25. Council will decide during budget deliberations whether to include these additional costs in the 2025 operating budget. Gananoque has donated $333,000 to Kingston Health Sciences Center since 2003 to support projects like the Cancer Center expansion, but hasn't previously committed to annual funding.
And thank you to Keith Dempsey for that story. Now over to LJI reporter for CJAI-FM Amherst Island Radio, Ted Evans, with a story about the success of Loyalist Township's physician recruitment program.
Staff at Loyalist Township have noted the success of their Family Physician Recruitment Incentive Program. The program has brought three new doctors to the area in just over a year. All three new physicians have joined the Loyalist Family Health Team in Amherst View to replace three physicians who have retired. The success of the program means its reserve fund is now spent, and staff are now looking at other funding options, incentives, and the potential of adding funds to the township's 2025 budget. Council received staff's report at their meeting this week. CAO Rebecca Murphy describes the success of the program and where the township currently stands.
We're in the position where we have early uptake of our physician recruitment program. Originally, the program was, we thought it would take some time before that would happen, and that we were going to have one physician a year, and we actually got three this year. Currently, we have financial obligations to those three physicians into 2028, and that we do have interest from two others, including a new physician who would potentially take on all new unrostered patients. To do that would be a significant increase in the operating budget or alternate funding, and staff are pointing out there's still the community grant available if council wishes to do that to fund this program.
Murphy notes the potential of another physician who might come to the area under the program.
I have spoken with one gentleman who wants to set up an independent clinic in Amherstview at the Amherstview Pharmacy, and it would be a new physician. He has somebody in the wings, a physician, and asked all the questions about what's the incentive program like, could they join the health team? You know, I've put him in touch with the health team. And he was looking to do that this fall, early new year. And then I was also approached by another doctor at the Loyalist Family Health Team who is retiring in 2025 and wishes to be able to offer this incentive program to be able to get filled his retiring position.
Murphy notes other options that staff are looking at.
There are alternate models, however, to incentive programs to individual physicians that are developing in our region. Kingston has had such an individual incentive program for a number of years and has spent over $3 million and did get 17 new physicians, but they also are providing incentive money to clinics to expand. And they're also being part of the new Midtown Health Home. This is a new model. Greater Napanee is also developing that program. It's really an extension of community health centers.
Murphy went on to describe the program in Napanee.
They hope that through hiring physicians through a different model whereby the administration is performed by a separate organization like the Community Health Center, then the physicians are paid that way, that they'll be able to roster all of the unrostered residents in Napanee through doing that.
Councillor Lorna Willis notes the need for physicians in the area and the ongoing situation.
It is a big problem in our township and in the area in general. And it's been unfortunate that the gains in Kingston and Napanee haven't helped Loyalist Township people who are trying to find doctors. This is a provincial problem, and they should be funding it. And this is a downloading to municipal taxpayers. So that causes me concern.
Mayor Jim Hagedorn spoke about taxes as well.
It does really bother me that there's other levels of government that have already taxed for this, and we're being taxed for it again.
Hagedorn went on to explain the potential of exploring and expanding a health phone option in the area.
There is a doctor or some doctors that provide those services, and the pharmacist in Bath actually has it. And it doesn't matter if you're rostered or not, you can go there, and it costs, there are fees, but I was thinking that might be possibly an option too, instead of rostering, bringing in doctors. It may be, we may be able to service more of our residents out of the pharmacists with something like that. That's another option that I've recently become more aware of. And so there may be options other than doctors, which may be a little more financially viable for the township.
Hagedorn notes how a health phone option may operate.
It's not a family doctor, but they can do all the requisitions for blood work and everything, and give prescriptions and do a fair bit of work. It obviously, if they were bad enough, it would still be an emergency room trip.
Councillor Jake Ennis notes his support for a health phone model.
I think that's probably the way of the future. And it's also, to have an interdisciplinary clinic, I think it's also a venue to access provincial funding, if you can get a proposal together for your area. So just to say that I would be supportive of Loyalists continuing to look at that model as an option in the future.
Councillor Paul Broderick describes the importance of bringing physicians to the area and funding initiatives such as their incentive program.
We had two doctors here, and I don't know what it costs to get them through the process, but I said to Councillor Willis, there's 45 years of doctors in Loyalist. So I think it's worth the investment. And I know it's the tax thing, it's that, but provincially, we're at a crisis in this. And I think anytime we can get a doctor to serve our populace, especially these young doctors. You hope, you know, they're young families. Loyalist is a good place for them to be. And I think it's worth the investment. And I guess the big question is, where do we get the money to invest? And I think we have to do it.
Councillor Carol Parks notes her personal experience and why it's so important to bring physicians to Loyalist Township.
I've been without a family doctor for almost 2 years. I do use the PharmaSave program. It works well. It is mostly covered by OHIP, so there doesn't seem to be any additional costs that I've experienced yet with that. However, my family doctor was originally from Napanee. And with the new doctors that are coming into Napanee, I just kind of assumed that because my family doctor retired from Napanee, that I would go on the wait list for Napanee. And that's not the case. It's specific to where you live. So I think as Loyalist Township, we need to start to encourage those doctors to come into our community because we're sandwiched between Napanee and Kingston.
Murphy touched on why funding such programs is so important.
I think it would be a bit of a shame if there were new physicians that may come, but we don't have incentives unless they go elsewhere.
The original reserve fund for the program was established in May 2023 and included $100,000 to be paid over 5 years in return for 5 years of practice in Loyalist with a roster of at least 1,200 patients. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans.
Thank you to Ted Evans for that story. Next is the Local Journalism Initiative reporter for CJPE Prince Edward County, Brenda Little, with a story about a potential sustainable building practice that could be used in Prince Edward County.
Rammed earth, what on earth is that? Well, it's an ancient sustainable building technique where raw materials such as soil, clay, limestone, or gravel are compressed to create rock. And if you add color, it is truly a piece of natural art. The wall can appear to be solid sandstone, but when the colors like purple and blue are added and then layered, along with curves, waves, and angles, the structure becomes a natural work of art. The method dates back to 9000 BC, the Neolithic Age, and examples can be seen with sections of the Great Wall of China. Graham Cavalier is the general manager and co-founder of AeroCura Sustainable Builders, and that is the only earth-ramming company in Ontario, now based in Prince Edward County. With the background noise of tinkling spoons and coffee cups, as well as a tiny dog running around, he recently gave a presentation to a room packed with environmental enthusiasts, local builders, and a bunch of us curious listeners just interested in finding out what rammed earth is. Graham explained the process, the superpower of thermal mass.
Hey everyone, this is Joseph Guido. I am CFRC's Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence project intern. Do you love local music and supporting local arts? CFRC's annual funding drive is running until December 31st, and your gift is needed to help us provide local musicians with modern, top-of-the-line equipment, space, and technical support to better showcase their creativity on our airwaves all year round. Help us raise $25,000 this year. Make your gift today via cfrc.ca.
Did you recognize that sound? That's the sound of a healthy, well-cared-for cat. I truly hope you've been lucky enough to hear that sound before. The feral cat population around Kingston and the surrounding areas has grown considerably over the last few years. And thanks to organizations like Kendra's Community Kitties, these feral cats are being fed, medically cared for, spayed, neutered, flea treated, dewormed, given winter shelters, and placed in loving homes whenever possible.
Hundreds of these special animals have been rescued by Kendra, and many of these wonderful felines are purring right now, safe and healthy.
But rescuing and rehoming feral cats isn't easy. It requires an enormous amount of time and effort, and there are a few ways you can help.
You can donate to Kendra's Community Kitties on their website, kckitties.com. Even a small amount will help pay for medication, spay and neutering procedures, and food and supplies to keep these felines sheltered and healthy in the cold winters or extreme heat of the summer. Because some of these kitties are not socialized, Kendra has committed herself to provide 22 dishes of food with fresh water every day, 365 days a year, to six feral colonies. Food prices have increased significantly, so donations of food and money are always needed. Funding assists with the process of finding homes for these cats as well, as it takes time and money to find the right individual or family to be matched with the right kind of cat. You can become a foster family for our feline friends. Go to kckitties.com and learn how you can care for and love a cat or even a family of kittens until they can be moved into their forever homes. At the colonies, Kendra plants the seeds of trust and socializes the feral felines when she brings them food at the same time each and every single day. So they're more accepting of humans when placed with foster families. But fostering a feral cat is no easy task. Kendra cannot take these cats from the colonies unless there are foster homes willing to commit to help these kitties gain trust with humans.
You can adopt one of these special cats or kittens. If you've already been thinking of getting a furry friend, reach out to Kendra at kckitties.com and she'll provide you with all the information you need to make this important decision.
Any help you can offer Kendra's Community Kitties will be tremendously appreciated. Not only by Kendra, but by the lucky feral felines she rescues.
And hey, maybe, just maybe, one day you'll get to hear
Panda say I love you.
We are the Arcade Fire. You're listening to CFRC.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. Yes, this is absolutely frivolous. We're here every Thursday at 5:30. And you know what? It's funding drive month. up until December 31st, from November 1st to December 31st, CFRC 101.9 FM is kindly and gently asking you to donate a little bit of money, or a lot of money, but probably just a little bit of money. We would love it if you would go to cfrc.ca and click on the donate now button and go there and donate something to show your appreciation of the station. You can get do it through Queens and you will get a lovely little tax write-off receipt. So I know a lot of people do it that way, but if you don't want to do it that way and you want some CFRC swag, Ooh, do it the other way. Go to the website. On the donate page, you will see a variety of different tiers. By how much you donate, you can actually get T-shirts, you can get hats, you get pens, you get buttons, you get stickers, playing cards, gift certificates from one of our many, many sponsors, which I'm not going to go into right now because I'm going to play something later that will list all of them and how wonderful they are. And we are entirely grateful for them supporting CFRC for sure. Because, you know, this is a little radio station and we have like over 100 volunteers. We have severely underpaid staff for the amount of work that they do. And they, you know, it's a passion project for a lot of us here at the station. We love being on the air and doing what we do, whether it's music or political discussion shows or like comedy shows like myself, my own, or if you're every genre of music, many different language shows. It's amazing. And like The Corridor, they put this wonderful news show together. And then Terry and Sherry's show, their nonsense show, as they like to call it. We're so lucky to have so many talented people here at the station doing things for free or very little money in many cases. So it would really help if you could donate just a bit of money to help us upkeep the station and pay for those salaries that we need to. And it just would be awesome. That's all I'm going to say. It's really worth it because we want to stay on the air for another 100 years if we can. That's the goal anyway, if radio's still around, God knows. Anyway, but because in honor of this wonderful Canadian icon that nobody knows about, like every other Canadian icon, I think, CFRC is Canadian. It's through and through, no question about it. So I've got three Canadian comedians. I've got a little bit of Catherine Ryan coming up. She's going to talk about dating. Ryan Belville is going to talk about dirty old men. But I'm going to start the show with a little bit of Johnny Harris. And you may know him from, now it just slipped my mind. That's terrible. You know, it's the end of the day when you cannot remember the name. I'll come back on the air and tell it to you later. But he's on a few shows, actually, of course, on CBC. But he's great. He's going to talk about Toronto and Newfoundland and I think do a play-by-play about the comparison of that. And he's very funny. And, you know, life should be funny every once in a while. So please enjoy. Please keep coming back to Absolutely Frivolous and CFRC 101.9 FM.
I told my mom I wanted to be born again. She said that would tear her apart. Myself, I don't drink very much because I find it very hard on my stomach. I had to watch it particularly. We went down to one of these all-inclusive resorts where they have the free bar in the swimming pool. I swam up to the bar and, needless to say, ended up with a watery stool. My girlfriend just started taking the birth control pill. She started taking that pill tricycline, only she started gaining weight. So I said, tricycline. I just got a Firebird last week. Firebird is my pet name for syphilis. Oh, that's good. That's good. Sometimes I tell that joke and people don't laugh and I think, oh my God, they've got syphilis. And that poor old killer whale in BC died. It swam into the propeller of a tugboat. You heard of that killer whale, right? They wanted to relocate it a few months ago, but a native group protested the move, saying that the whale actually embodied the spirit of their band chief who died smacking his head on a ceiling fan. Thank you. You know, if Frank Sinatra is remembered as Old Blue Eyes, I think Stephen Harper will be remembered as Cold Dead Shark Eyes. I just bought Prince's new album. It's called 3,121. And I'm guessing he named it for how bad it sucks out of 10. I just spent some time in Toronto and I realized their economy is pretty good and stuff, but I didn't think that they have snarky bums there. I came out of a mall in Toronto with a handful of change, and the guy goes, "Excuse me, sir, a dollar and change?" A dollar and change? It felt more like I was at a toll booth than I was being bummed from. But I had the change in my hand, so I give it to him. He starts picking out pennies and nickels. So I kind of gave him a look. He catches me. He goes, "What? You think you're better than me?" I said, "I think I'm doing better than you." I went back to Newfoundland. You know, I guess because it's an island, it's kind of insular. Newfoundland has remained refreshingly old school in certain ways. I got back from Toronto and I went into a coffee shop and I said to the kid, "Excuse me, do you do a latte?" And he looked at me and said, "No, do you do what our fellas in the rear?" Okay, rum and coke. People in Halifax give Dartmouth a hard time, don't they? Which is always the case, you know, when you have a large city next to a smaller one. I mean, it's foolish, really, but we're the same way in St. John's with Mount Pearl, you know? Because you think of that place as being a smaller, less cultural, less progressive hole. Thanks, Halifax. I'm Johnny Harris. Thanks so much.
CFRC 101.9 FM has launched its annual funding drive to raise $25,000 to support station operations, news and creative programming, and upgrades to our recording and performance studios. You can make a difference. Visit CFRC.ca right now and make your gift. Get a tax receipt through Queen's University or get sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. More information at CFRC.ca. Thank you for your support.
So, I have a boyfriend. Sorry. Not bragging. He wears a mouth guard. I don't deserve him. I love him. I don't deserve him or any man, really, because dating me is like, hey, I don't want to go anywhere at night ever. I'm open to maybe lunch if I can bring this kid that's mine and whom I will always love more than you. It's not fun for him, but we went home together in Edinburgh a year ago at the magical Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Have you been? Have you been there? I think I gave him a very aggressive job that night, I think. And that wasn't my fault. I had been trained to behave that way because my last boyfriend just had so much sex. He had like a dead like you could slam it in a door. You could. And so I learned to be very aggressive. You could slam it. He couldn't feel it at all. And after that magical evening, he did not call me back for 3 days. And I thought, I have come far too long in my life to be putting up with this. 3 days. Finally, I got a hold of him. And he said, well, after Edinburgh, I went up and I was looking for the Loch Ness Monster. He spent 3 days. And that's an excuse that I bought, by the way. I was looking for the Loch Ness Monster. And do you know what I said to him? I came up with this line. I thought it was so sexy. I finally got a hold of him and I said, oh, the Loch Ness Monster. So you'll chase a myth, but not a legend. I said that. You don't say that. That is not acceptable to say. Even if I was Jennifer Lawrence and her infinite beauty and magic pussy, I could not have said that. I got away with it. He's my boyfriend now, and we're very happy. I think he's with me because he fears for what I might say about him on TV, and that is as good a reason as any. I love it. It feels powerful. He's Muslim, or like anti-Muslim. I don't know. I don't listen to him. He's very religious. I just know that he's very religious. I'm not sure which one. Because to me, religion is like eating bread. Like, I recognize its significance in the formation of our societies, but I cannot believe it's still happening in 2016. And it's bad for ducks. Quack cocaine. Give them seeds instead. He's younger than me. Are there any ladies in who are dating a younger man? See, they won't admit it anyway.
No.
What's going on? Are there any ladies who have just broken up with a younger man? Are you older? Are you dating him, first of all? Yes, and you're older than he is. How much older? Two, you see that? Three. If you lied when you met her. Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? It doesn't matter. That's like not even a World Cup of age difference apart. That is like not even a leap year. Like, you couldn't digest gum in that amount of time. It's bullshit. And we get branded like, ooh, older women. People say that all the time. Oh, you're with a younger man. The sex must be incredible. Oh, yeah, because I'll tell you what men my age hate. F***ing. And mine is about the same age difference. My boyfriend's 28. And it's weird. Like, I have not been with a 28-year-old since I was 14. It's strange. It's very weird. People are like, oh, you must love teaching him things. Yeah, like the other day I taught him Titanic is based on a true story. But we don't seek it out. Like, you're together because you're equals. He happens to be exceptional. It's not the same. There's no time that we're around the clubs like, who can I find to do everything for and teach everything to? I am not busy enough. Like, we don't have time to make an extra packed lunch every morning. But we'll make exceptions sometimes. But I'm still the man of my house. Make no mistake about that, I'm the man of the house, and we have a lot of animals. That's what will happen when a man of the house is a lady. My daughter and I, we have 2 dogs, 2 cats, and 8 rabbits. I only got the dogs, I figure they kill everyone else, but they're all friends, it's a nightmare. It's like a Disney film, but with shitting. That's my life. And I came home from tour the other day. All I wanted was my bed. I went into the room and I saw that one of the dogs had shit on my pillow. Which is never an accident, by the way. And I almost had a breakdown. I just looked at it whimpering like, why? Why? And my daughter, very helpfully, Violet, she came into the room and she said, oh, don't worry, Mommy. That's just their way of saying they hate you. Yeah, I got that. She's not English. I think she's just doing that accent because she's making fun of you. I don't know. My boyfriend's American as well. That is what I have to be thankful for, Trump. American men are pairing off with Canadian women just in hopes that they might flee his reign of terror. Like, Canada has no immigration policy, by the way. People are like, I'm going to Canada, which is the political equivalent of stamping up to your room and slamming the door. I'm going to Canada.
CFRC's funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Donate today and get amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, earn a ticket towards one of our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from wonderful local businesses including Harper's Burger Bar, Hotel Wolf Island, Improbable Escapes, Kingston Canadian Film Festival, KPP Concerts, Long & McQuaid, Martello Alley, and Novel Idea. Enjoy the benefits of donating. Give today via CFRC.ca.
What is up? Yeah! Woo! All right. So, this is exciting. I became a dirty old man this year. Anybody else? Did that happen? This guy knows what I'm talking about. Sweet red wine. Should have a monocle and hunting dogs. Testicles hanging out. You know what's going on. It happens quick. You don't even expect it. One day you're a normal dude and all of a sudden you're watching women's tennis and you make this noise. What the f*** was that? That's how quick it happens. Let me back up for a second. I learned this year. I can't talk to women anymore. Beautiful women, I've lost the ability. I had a beautiful woman compliment me at brunch, a waitress. She just said, "Oh my God, you have beautiful eyes." And I was like, "Oh, do you also like TV? What the f*** am I saying? What is happening to me?" The reason is, I've learned this, because I'm in a long-term relationship, and I have been for a long time, so I've lost the ability to talk to pretty women. And here's a fact, when you're in a long-term relationship, when you're sleeping, your partner whispers in your ear, she says things like, "You're a big piece of shit, no one else would f*** you." Mm-hmm. Yes, and it ruins your self-esteem. It's brilliant. It gets worse the older you get. The longer, every woman in here has been hit on by like a 65-year-old guy who's been married for 40 years, and he's walked up and like, "Here's a quarter, go buy a rainbow." She's like, "Is he having a stroke?" "No, he's hitting on you." So here's the exact moment I became a dirty old man. I was in the Apple store because I hadn't had my weekly dose of condescension from a bearded guy, and I got it. Immediately he's like, "What'd you do to your computer?" And I'm like, "Oh, I've been pouring milk on the keyboard. Isn't that how you turn it on?" At which point, he sent me to a shame corner to reinstall software. And in walks this beautiful, sexy woman in cutoff shorts. She walks in, so sexy, cutoff shorts. On ladies, cutoff shorts. Because cutoff shorts project the notion that, oh, yes, my vaginal intensity is so powerful, it blew my pants legs off. No mere trousers can contain my lady flower. A man in cutoff shorts doesn't do that so much. It's like, "Oh, they're trying to get out." It's gross. I saw a guy in cutoff shorts rollerblading. Rollerblading, and you know he thought, "I'm so cool." That's what everyone thinks. No, everyone thinks you have a DUI, Cole. That's why you're on rollerblades. So anyway, the pretty girl walks in, she sits on a stool, and her bum makes a heart, like a perfect heart when she sits down. Guys know what I'm talking. Ladies, that's the equivalent of when you see a guy who's got this muscle right here. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, whores. Look at you, objectifying men. You should be ashamed of yourselves. No, women see that muscle. They're like, "Oh my God, am I watching True Blood right now?" They get so excited and squirrely. I don't know how you get. Do you do this? Is this how you get that muscle? Is that it? Is that how you get it? Unless you get it from smoking weed and eating Oreos. I ain't getting it. So, her bum makes a heart. And this is the moment I became a dirty old man. This is how quickly I clocked the bum heart, exactly what I said, and exactly how I said it. "Jesus Christ." Yeah. That flipped out of my talk wall. And I was close. She heard me. She looked over to see. She didn't expect like a salty hobbit who'd seen too much. She expected like a religious pirate or something, just praying like, "Jesus Christ, the Apple store's cool." And the worst part is I said it, and I looked over, there's a 58-year-old guy next to me going, "Yeah!" Like, "No, we're not a thing!" The older you get, the wiser you're supposed to be, which is crazy because I'm still an idiot. I'm a dummy, and I'm a parent. I'm not smarter for being a parent. I'm an idiot. I don't know how children work, and I have one. This is the most f***ed up thing that happened to me. My 3-year-old son came in. Me and my wife were eating breakfast, and he's wearing a shirt, shoes, and nothing else. And he's just flicking himself. Like he's jamming, he's playing like the Seinfeld theme. Right? And we ignore him. We ignore him like he's a weirdo on a bus. That's what we did. We're just like, "Don't make eye contact, sweetheart." And he'll move on to another nice couple. And he's just railing on it. He says this verbatim, "Hey, my pee-pee's getting bigger." Look at it. And we chose not to look at it, which made him furious. So he started yelling at us. He's like, hey, look at it. Look at it. Like he started turning into Heath Ledger from Dark Knight. He's like, look at it. Look at it. And eventually we had to look at it because you have to look at your children. That's a parenting fact. Occasionally you need to look to make sure they're not on fire. And we looked and it was like quivering like a witch's toe. It looked like a arrow had just been shot in him. Like digga, digga, digga. There was a note wrapped around it like the king has summoned us to joust. It was f***ed up. Yeah, he was full on Woody. And apparently this happens all the time. All the time. I've confirmed it. But at that time, I had no idea what caused it. Because you can't Google toddler boner without somebody kicking your door and like, that's the guy, get him. No, 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 sweetheart, flick your d*** for the nice man and show him what we were talking about earlier. Okay, thanks so much, Yuck Yucks. It's always a pleasure.
CFRC's funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Donate today and get amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, you also earn a ticket for one of our weekly raffle draws featuring prizes from local businesses including Old Farm Fine Foods, The Screening Room, Smokes Poutinerie, Studio 330, Tango Nuevo, Terra Natural Foods, The Toucan, The Wit, and YGK Thrift. Enjoy the benefits of donating. Give today via CFRC.ca.
Did you recognize that sound? That's the sound of a healthy, well-cared-for cat. I truly hope you've been lucky enough to hear that sound before. The feral cat population around Kingston and the surrounding areas has grown considerably over the last few years. And thanks to organizations like Kendra's Community Kitties, these feral cats are being fed, medically cared for, spayed, neutered, flea-treated, dewormed, given winter shelters, and placed in loving homes whenever possible.
Hundreds of these special animals have been rescued by Kendra, and many of these wonderful felines are purring right now, safe and healthy.
Wow.
By rescuing and rehoming feral cats isn't easy. It requires an enormous amount of time and effort, and there are a few ways you can help.
You can donate to Kendra's Community Kitties on their website, kckitties.com. Even a small amount will help pay for medication, spay and neutering procedures, and food and supplies to keep these felines sheltered and healthy in the cold winters or extreme heat of the summer. Because some of these kitties are not socialized, Kendra has committed herself to provide 22 dishes of food with fresh water every day, 365 days a year, to six feral colonies. Food prices have increased significantly, so donations of food and money are always needed. Funding assists with the process of finding homes for these cats as well, as it takes time and money to find the right individual or family to be matched with the right kind of cat. You can become a foster family for our feline friends. Go to kckitties.com and learn how you can care for and love a cat or even a family of kittens until they can be moved into their forever homes. At the colonies, Kendra plants the seeds of trust and socializes the feral felines when she brings them food at the same time each and every single day. So they're more accepting of humans when placed with foster families. But fostering a feral cat is no easy task. Kendra cannot take these cats from the colonies unless there are foster homes willing to commit to help these kitties gain trust with humans.
You can adopt one of these special cats or kittens. If you've already been thinking of getting a furry friend, reach out to Kendra at kckitties.com and she'll provide you with all the information you need to make this important decision.
Any help you can offer Kendra's community kitties will be tremendously appreciated. Not only by Kendra, but by the lucky feral felines she rescues.
And hey, maybe, just maybe, one day you'll get to hear
Panda say I love you.
We're the Brothers Landers, and you're listening to 101.9 CFRC.
Kingston.
We eat Smarties, you eat M&M's. And you think all our money looks pretend. Yeah, we got Bryan Adams. Hey, you got Bruce Springsteen. But we can't drink in bars when we're just 19. You got Brad Pitt, but we got Keanu Reeves. But we got the best lake fishing, you best believe. Yeah, you make fun of us cause we spell color with you. You think you're all that, Mr. Red, White, and Blue. We say hey, you say y'all. Yeah, we both got pro football. Except we got big balls in a longer field. We say Z, you say Z. Sure, we watch all your TV. You got a stronger run. Dunkin' Donuts, we got Timmy's. We got more land, but bro, you got more cities. You sure love the NFL, MLB, and the NBA. But to the great white north, hockey is the only game. Hey, we say A, you say y'all. Yeah, we both got pro football. On your TV, you got a stronger army down there, a man up here. We got stronger beer. So here's to you, my southern neighbor. All kidding aside, it takes me six beers to get pissed drunk. But for you, it takes nine.